The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell in the studio. Plenty of racing to look forward to on Thursday with Lingfield, Redcar and Sedgefield in the afternoon. There's also evening action from Toaster and Foslas, and it's day three of the Punchestown Festival as well, so plenty to go at. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Darren Owen. How are you, Wizard?
I'm well. You okay?
Yeah. I'm very good, thank you. Right, what we're going to do on this edition of the podcast is we're going to have a brief look ahead to the weekend because we've got the Guineas coming up. We're going to have a look back at some of the highlights from Punchestown so far, including the impressive success of Forheen, and then we're going to look ahead to Thursday's action, and Wizard's picked out three races in Punchestown for us there. So plenty to talk about, Wizard. We'll start with a flat action, and we'll look ahead to the Guineas. The 2000 Guineas is, it's about Kingman, really, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. Yeah, I suppose it is if you look at the price. He was mightily impressive in the Greenham. Potentially, you know, this horse could be the real deal, certainly over a mile anyway. I think it's a wonderful race. I think it's a very, very good Guineas. I know that seems a bit of a strange statement because when is a classic a bad classic? he's three from three. He was spectacular first time out as a two-year-old in the July course. Workmanlike in the Solario, but I don't think everything was 100% on that occasion.
No.
And you couldn't help but be impressed in the Greenham, and that looked a very good Greenham on paper.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just left some decent three-year-olds for dead. I think he's going to take some beating in truth. But, you know, it's not a one-horse race. Australia, he's two from three. I really do see his classic being the Derby.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, by a Derby winner, out of an Oaks winner, you know, it's mile and a half and Epsom written all over Australia. Mm-hmm. He's running for the first time this season. He was impressive when we last saw him at Leopardstown in September. I quite like Australia's stable buddy, War Command, who I'm led to believe that Ryan Moore may be on board this one. Now, War Command was mightily impressive in the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot. I was working for the Racing Post that day at Ascot, and I remember putting in the word, I think I'm sure I put in the word impressive in the close-up.
Yeah, blew the field apart, didn't he?
He really did. He disappointed. He was turned over at short odds at the Curragh in August, but he put that firmly behind him with a couple of wins after that at group level, including the Dewhurst at Newmarket. And I think now they are now coming for War Command. I think yesterday he might have been 12s, 14s yesterday. I think, yeah. Was he about 9s now?
9-1 at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. I really do think this horse is going to be in the money. I really do think this. I mean, Tormore didn't do anything wrong when he won the Craven. There were a lot of people crabbing that form. I thought he was finding more Tormore. Got to respect Tormore. It's interesting that, you know, Kingston Hill, people don't seem to be talking about Kingston Hill, who was the good winner of the Racing Post Trophy last back end. You know, there were those suggesting that he's going to be more a Derby horse than the Guineas horse. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful Guineas. I think Kingman is the real deal at a mile. And I really do think he's going to take some beating. I'm looking at Epsom for Australia. And I think at the prices, I'd be tempted to back War Command each way.
Okay. That's a very good summary, Wizard. Can't add anything to that.
Sounds surprised.
The 1,000 Guineas is a little bit more tricky, in my opinion. Resina is the 7-2 favourite. 80 Mile, 8-1 with Lucky Crystal and My Titania, or Titania, however you want to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to pronounce that one.
Miss France and Tapestry are both 10s. 12-1 for Bracelet. Amazing Maria and J Wonder are both 14-1 and then 16s or bigger prices the rest. There's at least six or seven of these that you could state a very fair case for.
Yeah, I think there's, as you say, there's at least that amount that could win this race.
Yeah.
Going into the winter, the horse I had on my mind was Miss France.
Okay.
And maybe I should still have Miss France on my mind. She was beaten first time up at Maison Lafitte, and she finished behind behind Vorder for a start.
Mm.
Who I, by the way, I think is quite a good price for Vorder. I think that one's been overlooked by a lot of people. It's around about 16-1. Is it 16-1 Vorder?
Yeah, 16. Yeah,
yeah, a cheap purchase. It's got quite a bit of pace to its name in the breeding, though it's related to an Italian Oaks winner, and it's beaten a number of these. It beat a number of these in the Cheveley Park back in September, Vorder, and then was turned over in the States at Santa Anita, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. And she was second at Maison Lafitte in early April, with Miss France a few places behind. It was a typical French race. They were on top of each other. But I think she's been overlooked, and she's got form in the book. So I think she represents value, Vorder, at 16-1. And I think she's probably that price because she's trained by, shall we say, an unfashionable trainer.
Yeah.
I've never heard of him. you know?
Yeah,
so, yeah. So I think Vorder represents value. But Miss France was one filly I had in my mind going into the winter. She beat Andonisienne at Chanty. That was at the end of August. That horse then later on went on to win the Prix Marcel Boussac on Arc Day. Whether it was a strong Marcel Boussac, one only time will tell. I was surprised that Miss France, I was reading somewhere that Miss France was going to go straight to the Guineas and not have a prep race, but obviously yeah. Connections felt that she just needed a prep race. And I think she'll leave that form behind. I think she's a real player. I'm not going to change my mind because this is the filly I had on my mind going into the winter.
Okay.
Right? But, you know, there are others here, and I'm quite interested in Tapestry. Tapestry's got form with Rosina, and of course Rosina's a favourite. You've got to mention Rosina, who was second in the Filly's Mile. That was at Newmarket. She won the Moyglare in a driving finish, a messy finish against Kiyoshi in Tapestry. Kiyoshi's another one that's going to be a player on Saturday. Charlie Hills is on Sunday. Charlie Hills has had a good start to the campaign. His horses are in form. Kiyoshi was a Royal Ascot winner last year. Lucky Cristal finished behind Kiyoshi at Ascot last year. I'm not totally sure about the mile for Lucky Cristal. Yeah. And I have a feeling Rosina's going to come up against one or two too good. So at this stage, and of course, I've heard a good message for My Titania, the John Ox-trained daughter of See the Stars. She won two races last season, looking good at Leopardstown in a maiden, and then went on to win in Group 3 company. And the message is pretty strong there. But it's wide open. I'm going to go Miss France to win. And I'm expecting a big run from Tapestry and Vorder. But, you know, I haven't mentioned the Godolphin filly.
Itimal,
who didn't do anything wrong in Maidan. And she had, you know, she had solid two-year-old form last season. She was involved in the Chesham Stakes, which was pretty solid as the two-year-old season unfolded. It's one of those races wide open, the 1,000 guineas. So my three against the field, Miss France, Vorder and Tapestry.
Okay, yeah, very wide open. The 1,000 guineas this year should be an exciting renewal. We'll find out who wins that on Sunday. We'll find out who wins the 2,000 guineas on Saturday. But what we're going to do now is change tact a little bit and move on to the jumps scene. And we must reflect on Tuesday's big winner, in the shape of Forheen, who was mightily impressive in his success. He was impressive at Cheltenham. He was even more impressive at Punchestown. And following that display, he was trimmed to 8-1 for the 2015 champion hurdle.
Well, how's the betting looking now then at the top end of the market for that?
It's now, the new one is the 5-1 favourite.
Yeah.
My Tent are yours 6-1.
Yeah.
Forheen was 8 after the race, trimmed straight into 7 as well, so some people obviously jumped on board that.
Yeah.
This year's winner, Jeski, is 7-1, 8-1 for Underso. Annie Power is 10s, and then 16-1 for Hurricane Fly, and 33-1 are bigger prices the rest.
At the end of the day, it's all down to Willie Mullins. He's got an embarrassment of riches there. You know, first of all, let's take Forheen. He got the job done at Cheltenham. wasn't the most spectacular or the most proficient in the jumping department when winning at the festival. That was over 2 miles five. Well, I was talking to Andy on Monday night on the eve of the Punchestown meeting, saying, you know, why is he running it over 2 miles? And we thought, obviously, to see if this horse is of, you know, championship material.
Mm-hmm.
And in an interview yesterday with the owner, Rich Ritchie basically said the same. He said Vautour actually didn't give them a good feel over the weekend, and they just wanted to see how good Faheen was, if he could brush up on it with his jumping, and how good he was at 2 miles. And he jumped well yesterday, and he didn't break into a sweat. He just went in second gear. That was a breathtaking performance yesterday.
It was very good, yeah.
It really was. And, you know, they weren't slouches behind. You know, Val Salido is no slouch, a stable companion who I thought ran a decent enough race at Cheltenham. Sergeant Reckless flew home at Cheltenham. They were all on top of one of each other, on top of each other behind, but he's absolutely pulverised them. He is a player. It's interesting regarding the other Mullins horses that you mentioned there in the betting. I mean, we just don't know where Annie Power is going to end up. We don't know. You know, and Undersco is another one who's been really impressive recently with that good win at Auteuil, but just wonder whether he's going to be a 2.5 mile horse. We don't know. I don't think the new one will ever win a champion hurdle. I'll probably be made to eat my words, but I don't think the new one will ever win a champion hurdle. And my tense are yours. It's that same old problem. He's just got to settle.
Yeah.
He has got to settle. And it's a shame, really, for Jeski, because we always seem to overlook Jeski. Now, at the end of the day, Jeski's been there, done it, and bought a T-shirt.
Yeah.
But
Faheen won the same race that Jeski won at Punchestown last year.
That's right, yeah. But yeah, you just couldn't help but being impressed with Faheen yesterday.
No.
A real player.
Exactly. And do you think the drop back to 2 miles at a little bit of a quicker pace helps his jumping a little bit?
Yeah, and you know, hopefully that and time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should help it. But look, at the end of the day, the new one isn't the most proficient of jumpers.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, very, very solid claims at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Faheen the Machine then, 7-1 for next year's champion hurdle, and he's done very little wrong at the moment.
Yeah.
So very exciting prospect for next year's big races. Let's talk about this year's races, though. Let's talk about Punchestown.
Jump season's not over yet. We're talking about the classics, but I'm in Punchestown mode at the moment. I'm still in jumping mode. I'm not quite there with the flat yet.
Yeah. How many days is it till the Grand National, is it?
I'm still in jumping mode.
Yes. So let's look at some racing at Punchestown then. Wizards picked out three of the big races there on Thursday, and we'll start in the 4:15, which is a Grade C handicap chase, and it's over 2 miles. 20 runners in this Wizard, so you've picked a nice easy one to start with here.
Well, I have. Yeah, ultra competitive stuff, and this might be boring because I'm expecting this to be favourite, and that's Ned Buntline.
Yeah.
You'll remember Ned Buntline from the festival, was a close second then the Grand Annual, and the interesting thing is he's actually only been raised £2 in the weights. Irish handicap ratings sometimes do differ to UK ratings.
Yeah.
But the mark he's running off at Punchestown is only a £2 higher mark than he ran off at Cheltenham in the Grand Annual when he's behind Cervelo. And also, not just that, you know, compared to a number of the runners in this race, he's lightly raced. You'd like to think there could be more progress to come from this Noel Mead trained 6-year-old. So I'm going to go for Ned Buntline.
Okay, Ned Buntline. Did you see anything else that you were worried about in the race, Wizard, or was it just a case of you saw Ned Buntline?
Yeah, the other 19.
Yes, fair enough. But I was looking at Ned Buntline as well because
when you think that some of these are going to be more, you know, some of these are fairly well exposed, aren't they?
Hmm.
Ned Buntline isn't.
Yeah,
and he's only gone up £2.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
For the Grand Annual.
Mm. Yeah, only had four races this year, so pretty fresh compared to a lot of these. Okay, so Ned Buntline then in the 4:15, moving on to the 5:30 next, and this is the World Series hurdle, Grade One, over 3 miles, and we have betting on site for this as well. So you can have a bet already. Quivega, 4-5 at the top of the betting.
Yeah.
Fisher's Cross, 7-2. Fingal Bay, 7-1. 10-1 for Rev de Civilla. Bog Warrior is 12-1. 20-1 for Glenn's Melody and Nakara Bow, and then 33-1 or bigger price.
What price was Glenn's Melody, you say?
Glenn's Melody, 20-1.
No. Come on, you're having a laugh.
20-1.
What, Glenn's Melody?
Yeah.
Well, there's my each way bet for the race. That's that sorted. Honestly.
Yeah, 22.
I suppose it's down to the ground, really, because most of them have decent forms in really soft ground. But then again, you look at the run at Cheltenham against a stable companion. She was only beaten three parts of a length.
Yeah.
By Quervega. That's value, that.
It is.
How many runners in the race? 10.
Yeah. Each way.
Oh, yeah, there's my each way selection.
Yeah.
Now you've read the prices out. look, we know mare's races are generally not as competitive as these sort of races. And at Fisher's Cross, if he can just get his act together, we know he's talented. You only have to turn the clock back 12 months. Decent run behind Whisper. I know a lot of people expected at Fisher's Cross to win that day. He was favourite for the Liverpool hurdle over 3 miles. Beaten by Whisper, who I think is a very, very good horse, progressing. And that's at the top of my horses to follow this for next season, right, as a novice chaser. At Fisher's Cross, he seems to be getting his jumping together now. Right. The one thing I would say, though, at Aindrey, actually jumped right-handed. So that's not going to be a problem here because we're going to go right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be straightforward for Quervega. I don't think it's going to... I think she'll probably win. My hunch is that she will win, right? And win this race for... Is it the fifth time she won it? 4 times, has she?
Yeah, that's right.
And she's in foal, isn't she?
Apparently so, yes.
So there won't be many more races for her. This might even be a last, unless they're tempted to go for a pot or toy in the late spring, early summer. And they always say that can bring out some sparkling form with these mares.
Yeah.
We know she's a sparkling mare anyway. It's interesting. Fingal Bay's interesting, running in this company. He's got to make that transition from handicap company to top class company, you know, and the ratings say that he's got quite a bit to find. But that Potemps hurdle form is, look at it. Just look at that Potemps hurdle form. How solid that form is.
It's very, yeah, Southfield Theatre in second, Pinot de Rey third, Trust and Times fourth.
Yeah, it's great form. I mean, you know, Southfield Theatre won last week at Sandown,
yeah.
Pinot de Rey won that handicap chase on Merseyside, and Trust and Times has placed the Scottish National.
That handicap chase on Merseyside.
You told me not to mention it.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, but he's got to make that jump, hasn't he, to this sort of form. And Bog Warrior is another horse that a lot of people like. He's coming back to hurdles, having been campaigned over fences of late. He won a Grade 2 at Navan last time, and he's a capable performer on his top hurdles form as well. But I think Quervega will win. But I think the value is Glenn's Melody.
Yeah, if you think Quervega will win and Glenn's Melody was in Glenn's three Melody. Quarters of a length, then yeah. she's got to be value at 20-1. Yes.
Yeah,
fair enough. All right, let's move on. Willie Mullins 1-2 in the World Series hurdle.
I thought this was going to take 5 minutes. my colleague next door is pulling his hair out. What hair he's got? I said I'd be there in about 20 minutes ago.
Right, well, we must move on quickly then to the 6:40, which is the last race we're going to look at. This is the Ryanair Novice Chaser, Grade 1 over 2 miles, and Champagne Fever is the 5-4 market leader. Balder Succès is 11-4.
How are you calling it? What are you calling it?
Balder Succès.
All right, I like that.
Trifolium 5-1, 9s for Felix Younger, Arnaud and Ted Veal are both 16-1, 20-1 or bigger prices, the rest.
8 runners.
2, 4, 6, 8 runners.
8 runners, yeah. Well, I mean, Balder Succès, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
He's been in great form as near of late, winning his last 3 starts. But Champagne Fever, he's actually going to come into this just a little bit fresher now than Balder Succès, even though Balder Succès didn't go to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Because Champagne Fever's last run was at the festival. I think he'll win. I think it's quite simple. I do think he will win this race. And I do think that his stable companion, Felix Younger, back at 2 miles, represents a little bit of value. What price do you say?
Felix Younger is 9-1.
Yeah, I think the drop back to 2 miles will suit Felix Younger. Look back at Champagne Fever's season this season. He was turned over at Leopardstown, wasn't he, when he made a mistake at the second last fence. That did for him. That really did for him. And of course, he was second at the festival behind Western Warhorse. But I think I'm going to give him another chance. I think Balder Succès done nothing wrong in his last few races, but I just think coming into this, Champagne Fever is now going to be the fresher of the two.
Okay.
So I'm looking at a Willie Mullins benefit here. Champagne Fever and Felix Younger, the value bet.
Okay, could be a very good day for Willie Mullins on
Thursday.
Yeah,
could be a very good day.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Wizard, if you'll just spin us through them one more time before you...
I've forgotten. right, I'll go Ned Buntline in the 4.15. Obviously, Quivega 5.30, but Glenn's Melody, the value bet. And in the 6.40, Champagne Fever with Felix Younger, the value bet.
Good stuff, Wizard. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Thursday.
Yeah, see you soon.
So there you go, the thoughts of Darren Owen on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Stephen Powell in the studio. It's Lingfield, Redcar and Sedgefield in the afternoon, Toaster and Fosslass in the evening, and day three of the Punchestown Festival. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.